Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. Our theme for the month will be the salvation of my soul. The salvation of my soul. Our subject this morning is the redemption of my soul. Say it after me, the redemption of my soul. One more time, the redemption of my soul. And I'm sure we know that there's a difference between the two, salvation and redemption. Mga atindanga, in your believer's experience, you shall be exposed accordingly. I do believe that God wants our souls to be made whole. God wants your soul to be whole. Nkulunkulu ufuna umphefumlo wakho upheleliswe. Amen. Because we cannot be truly happy, truly prosperous in our lives if we are not whole in our souls. And God's plan of salvation does not stop at our spirits, amen? But it also caters for our souls. And that's why we are sharing those truths to die. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of Psalm 49 and verse number 15. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Please don't be confused. That word grave there does not necessarily speak of that grave that we dig when we are going to bury our bodies. Amen. That's for the flesh. So the Bible here speaks about something else, as you will see at a later stage. Amen. And here, the Bible declares that God will redeem our soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive us. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you may bless us and speak to us and challenge us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So, you and I, as we are seated here today, and particularly if you are a born-again child of God, if you are a Christian, that is. And hear me well, Vazalana, today my intention is not necessarily to preach to you, but I want to speak to you, and I ask you to open up your heart and hear me. Amen. So if you are a child of God, a born-again child of God this morning, you are one of the few people who are privileged. Amen. But before that supernatural experience, because that is what it is, it's a very supernatural experience, before that supernatural experience of being born again, of being saved, before you came and you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, You were alive, or I was alive as well, because we were born by the flesh. We were born of the flesh. We were born through a natural birthing process. And that process left us with this natural character that we have, or that we had, if I even put it like that. And that character that was without God. Godless nature and character. Are we together? And we landed here on earth. The Bible clearly tells us in the book of John 3 that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So because we were born by the flesh, through the flesh, we were nothing but flesh. And we were without God. Are we together, Bazalwane? We were born into this world that is full of sin and unrighteousness. And our lives were under the influence of the systems of this ungodly, sinful, unrighteous world that we were born into. Where the Bible clearly tells us that Satan is in charge. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world. He might not be the god of our world where we live today in terms of after you are born again, but outside there in the world where people are living without God, Satan is in charge. Whether we want to accept that or not, but Satan is in charge in that world. He influences things. He controls things. And the Bible continues to accurately describe for us that world in Ephesians 2 verse 2. It says, in which you once walked according to the cause of this world. That is before we were saved. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So everything that we see out there that is happening, especially the bad things that are happening as a result of the spirit that is in charge there. The spirit of Satan that is in control. And the Bible refers to everybody who lives in that space as a son or a daughter of disobedience. Are we together, Bazalwane? And then it continues to say in verse number 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. So whatever our natural man lusted after, we pursued it. Are we here? And it says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Believe you me, that mind was influenced also by the spirit, by the powers of darkness, there, of course, Satan himself. Amen. And it says, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. That's the world that we were living in. It's the world that we come from before we knew God, before we were saved. And of course, people do not want to associate themselves with Satan. Nobody likes Satan, especially if you are seated here listening to me. I am guaranteed that you are here simply because you don't want to be associated with Satan, the devil, demons, and all of that. That's why you are making attempts to pursue God. But the problem is, in most cases, there are certain things that we do and certain things that we were involved in and we did not know that those things were influenced by Satan himself. As I always say, the difference between God and Satan is that God wants to be associated with everything he does. Everything that God does, every miracle he performs, he wants all the glory to be given to him. That's why he wants us to testify, to tell people that this happened because God was involved in it. Are we here? But the difference with Satan is that he does not mind because he knows that everybody hates him. Look, even when we draw Satan, we draw him in a very horrible, bad way. Simfakela mapondo. I don't know who told us ukuthi unamapondo. But he has to be scary because everybody does not like him. So he does not want people to know when he is involved in something. So he derives nice, cute names for things just so that we can be attracted to those things and not know that they come from him. We call them horoscopes. Right? We have just beautiful names, just so that he does not appear to be involved. And there are many other things that we do as people we are involved in, then those things are not of God. They are of Satan. Believe you me, in this world, you can never be on neutral grounds. It's either you are in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light. It's either you are of God or of Satan. You can be saying with your mouth that you don't want anything that has got to do with Satan. But if he has allowed you to be involved in things that he has given different names, you'll be involved in those things and not know that you are living in the middle or in the center of his world. And you and I, whether we want to accept it or not, that is the world we were living in before we were saved. Today we can act all cute, we are wearing ties, we are carrying a Bible, but you and I were living in a world, and here's the sad part. It's also possible to be saved and be born again and be tongue-talking, but still be influenced from that world. There are many of us who are now saved and born again, and we are coming to church every Sunday. But unfortunately, the world that we were living in and its systems were so deeply embedded in us to a point that it's difficult to let go. Sisonke bazalwane. And we lived like that before we were saved simply because we did not know God. We did not have a relationship with God. We did not even consider his will for our lives. We did not consider the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives. We did everything that we felt and we thought was right. And we committed ourselves into various things. Passionately so. Wholeheartedly. We practiced those things. We believed in those things. We were told, as a matter of fact, let me put it this way. Anything and everything that we were doing, we thought that is because we want to do that thing. And little did we know that it is because of the exposure of the environment that we found ourselves in. And we made those decisions influenced by the world we are living in and the spirits that are dominating in that world. Sikona. So we lived our lives driven by what our ungodly human nature wanted. And we were influenced by the systems, traditions, philosophies, ideologies, customs that were practiced or applied in that world that are inspired by demonic and satanic forces without knowing it. We don't want to be associated with the devil. But unfortunately, we lived with him. We were controlled by him. We took decisions influenced by him. The thoughts we were thinking, the things we believed in, thinking that this is who we are. This is associated with certain identities and become so passionate and say this is who we are. And only a little did we know that that was the identity that we were given by the devil himself. And we took ownership of it. Proudly we say, this is who we are. It's part of us. I cannot be black and not do this. I cannot be African and not do this. We call it different things. Africanism, spiritualism, whatever. And Satan is comfortable. As long as you don't know it's him. You see, God is good. I love him. He goes to a point where he says, I am a jealous God. Why? He does not hide it. He comes and he says, that's me. This is how I want you to live. It's me. And here's the thing, Bazalwane. We continued in that life for as long as we did not know God through Christ. It's important for me to say through Christ. Because even many of us, when we thought we had a relationship with God, because he has sonta, But Jesus was not in the equation. The only time you can truly know God and have a relationship with Him, it can only be through Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to my Father except through me. So if your relationship with God does not involve Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died and rose again after 3 days, if it does not involve Him, that relationship is not real. It is not true. It does not exist. The God you are calling upon and you are praying to is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because no one goes to the Father except through Christ. No one can know God except through Christ and by His Spirit. Are we here, Bazalwane? So even when at some point you were a little bit, because just like me, I was at some point, religious. I was going to church. I was an altar boy, by the way. I thought I was religious. I thought I knew God. But still influenced by this world that I'm talking about. That was my permanent residence, even though I was going to church. Because Jesus was not part of that equation. Sisonke. And of course, some of us, we were so blessed to have an encounter with Christ at a very early age. And soon we were disconnected from that system and its influences. And it's much more easy. That's why in isiZulu sithi ligotshwa lise manzi. So it's much more easier to, adjust your life and begin to be. I thank God for people like Abo Sifiso. At a very early age. Some of us, we knew Christ very late in life. For an example, I got born again at the age of 21. So in other words, for 21 years, Satan has been busy programming my life to think in a certain way, to believe in a certain way, to act in a certain way, to behave in a certain way, to do things in a particular manner. These things were embedded in me. Controlled the way that I think. Even when I thought it's me thinking, it was not me thinking. I was thinking through the program that was coded by Satan in my soul. And the biggest challenge is that some of us, even though when we know Christ, it's difficult to let go of that old way of thinking and doing things. We come, we pray, we speak in tongues and whatever. But unfortunately, we did not realize that there is a need for us to be intentional about letting go of our former life. The way that we used to think, and I don't want you to limit yourself and think when I'm talking former life, I'm just, talking umkruvo and whatever the case may be. I'm talking about even our belief systems, the way that we used to think, because let me put it this way, to repent is not only about stopping to do something. Repenting is forsaking even the philosophy behind the action. Because you acted that way because of how you thought about it. It's either you are here or you are going home. All right. So when you act in a particular way, you drink because you believe in drinking. Alcohol, that is. There's a philosophy behind it. So when you repent, you deal with the philosophy behind it, because that's why many of us, even after we think we have repented, we go to church. We still do certain things we used to do before because we did not forsake the philosophy behind what we used to do. We still practice certain things that we used to practice before because we have not replaced the philosophy behind what we think it's still applicable even though you are saved. That's why abanye abantu baze bathi uNkulunkulu uyasizwa. Unkulunkulu ukhonzwa through amadlozi. You see?
It's because we know we need God. But unfortunately, the philosophy behind believing emadlozini isafana. And you find Christians tongue talking, but still practicing these things. I've been a pastor for a while, man. I've seen things. Well, that's why I'm saying, mawufuna ukubona ikholo langempela, ikholo lamareg, mlinda shonelo rashad. I was telling them yesterday, and they did not like it, Elder John. I said, on Sunday, we are all pretending. This is the gathering of Pharisees. Sunday. Yeah, everything is well rehearsed. The way we usher, the way we sing, the way we preach, everything is well rehearsed. And we can act it out. It's easy. Sunday, we don't judge our Christianity with Sunday services. Sunday services can be deceiving, my brother. We all look good. You dress up. You even pray in the morning to prepare yourself for the service. Ufuna ukuba kahle emoyeni. Mangabe ulale wonile izolo ebusuku uyathandaza ekuseni uzilungise emoyeni. We are all pretending on Sunday. True Christianity is lived out after we say amen. When the real challenges of life come, that's where we see if you are a Christian or not. Yeah. That's why we see if you are a Christian or not. Umuntu maseka shonelwe, Elder John. Lo khuluma ngeyilimi Sunday. Uzomduduza ukuba habe. This person said he's a Christian. Ah, uphume edlaleni. Ukusalayo sabantu abamnyama. Ushintsheni ni from being a Christian to a black person. Oh, what's wrong with you? Vat makier mejo and your fro. So I've dedicated children here. Uthuma umthatha umthandazela unuka impepho phu umntwana.
It's the gathering of pretenders.
Sunday.
Gathering of pretenders.
Pastor, we want you to dedicate our child. I've dedicated children neintambo nemincamo. And we are confused, which one do you want? Which protection do you want? From God? So you see, you are dealing with a Christian who is saved in his spirit. But the soul is still trapped somewhere. Still programmed from somewhere. Still influenced from somewhere. And unfortunately, these two systems are not the same. They cannot work together. The one is from the kingdom of darkness, the other is from the kingdom of light. And so we come, we give our lives, and we don't realize the need to be intentional about. You see, some of you are going to be baptized here after the church service. The reality of what you are going to do there is that it's symbolic of the fact that you bury the old person. And the way that that person thinks, the way that he used to do things, you bury, you leave that person there. And then the Bible says you come out into a newness of life. There's a new person that must emerge when you are born again. You see, Christianity is not just coming to church. There's a new person that you are supposed, you can't be born again and still think, behave exactly as you used to think and behave before. Then you are just attending church. You are not saved. You are not born again. And some of us, yes, we are saved. We have confessed Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Yes, God, we have given him access to our spirit. But unfortunately, we don't allow him to deal with the old man, to put him away for good. Because if we don't allow God to change the way that we think and we do things, our lives will not be impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, as powerful as it is. As powerful as it is. But if we don't allow God to renew our minds and change the way that we think, let me tell you, the gospel will do nothing for us. You will be saved and still miserable. You will go to church, pray in tongues, and still be miserable. Don't experience anything that God has got in store for us. Ephesians 4, verse 22. The Bible says, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So there is an old person that you and I used to be before we met Christ. And here the Bible intentionally says, you must put him off. You must put him off. In other words, here the Bible is indirectly saying to us, it's possible to be saved and still walk back with the old man. That's why the Bible tells us that mhlubule, put him off, bury him. And God does not say, I'm going to take this. He says, you must take him off. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Because that's how Satan works. He deceives us. He causes us to think in a certain way. He does not give us the truth. He gives us something that looks and sounds like the truth so that we can believe in that philosophy, that ideology, that custom and own it as if it's part of our lives. And then in verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because behind every thought, behind every philosophy, behind every ideology, there is a spirit that has inspired that thought. Picture this. There are certain movies that we watch and they depict a world that does not exist in the natural. Are you here? You've never seen that thing before. But when you watch it, it is so real. And my concern always is, where did this person get this thing from? So the evil and the wickedness that is tells you that there is a spirit behind the inspiration of this thing. The fact that this person can show you the battle of the supernatural forces and powers. Somebody was inspiring. I spoke about horoscopes earlier. Let me help you because you can say, no, the information is accurate, whatever. It's not about the accuracy of the information. Because Satan knows you. He knows where you stay. He has seen you this morning when you woke up. So he can say something about your life. He was there when your boyfriend left you. He was there. He was watching. As a matter of fact, he's the one who told their boyfriend to leave you and break your heart. So when a person comes as ukutshela impilo yakho from uzalwa, don't know. Akunasimanga lapho. You must check me out on this one. The word demon in the Greek, the word demon means a knowing one. So demons are informed. They are everywhere. Demons are. So they know. Oh, this one. Ulelela, uvukela. So the issue is about who inspires this information. The information might be right. But who is behind this information? That's where the question is. So there is this, look, this old man that we are talking about was such and so, was built by the devil himself I got saved when I was 21. So in other words, for 21 years, I was shaped by the kingdom of darkness, the way that I think from the very first second you wake up, the devil is at work to shape your mind. The song you listen to, you remind me of my Jeep. I want to ride it, right? It's working on you. To think in a certain way, to desire in a certain way, to feel in a certain way. Later on radio, some interview comes, some spiritual guru speaks things that are profound, things that are beyond your human understanding. And he instills indirectly some belief system in you. Look, many of us, we can be passionate with Africanism. And Leon Taibuigu, we ask now, you heard it from somewhere. You read it from somewhere. That's why God does not hide when it comes to the Bible. He says all scripture is inspired by my spirit. Does not hide it. So you pick up a book from somebody who hasn't been exposed to somewhere, some spirits, influenced, and got some inspiration to write about Africanism, tradition, culture, whatever. And you take this thing, you read it, you allow yourself to think. The author through you. You are just an expression of the ideologies of this author. So every book you read, shaping you. That's why even when it comes to our children, we need to be custodians of what they are being fed in their head. They don't like it sometimes when you say something that is different from the teacher. But sometimes you need to tell them that at the end of the day, what we stand on in this home is the word of God. If anything they teach you is contrary to the word, you will not like me, ne? I promise you. Let me, in communication, right? I did communication first year, first semester, when I went to ETEC. So I attended class, the communication. So the first thing, Ebas Fundisayon, we have figure, lecturer to Ikuluma no Mundo Hesla, who sit in Logan. We are Mishabella Uti Shama 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 Shama, Umjela Indo, Magat Yamia Uti. Tell this person what I said, and this person must tell this one, this one must tell this one, this one must tell this one, this one. And then we'll hear from the last person what I said. Aye, by the time he puma. She was like, oh, gumemeza, bonke lababa labaya memeza, ow, 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 ngoba. What this one said to this one is no longer the same as what the teacher said. Was this, my puma lapa, so in Jonalanga now. Here's the problem. Where's the problem? Here's the problem with some of these traditions that we are so passionate about. They have been passed on from one generation to the other verbally. Yeah, that's why today, even as different tribes and whatever in our black community, we are at loggerheads. Tolaman devela pixar and a sigo linye. No, I sing jalo. I come so. I can be oh Lord, ne, I can be njalo. Yayenzi wanjalo, mtanoka, gusa, gusa wenzu wut, no wut, no wut. Nje, what mak figure, ikoseti, ya figure. Yonke leyo was not recorded anyway. So I have to depend on what my uncle told me. And he has to depend on what his uncle or grandfather or father told him. And now by the time it comes to us, even now, I'm so, you know, having fun on TV. That's why the Bible tells us how all of these other things will fade away. Only the word of God will stand firm. Let me show you the accuracy of the word of God. It has been written by different authors from Genesis to Revelation. Different authors, but it is so much in sync. So much in sync, in such a way that Moses was not even born when Genesis happened. He wrote it way after, but he captures the events of creation. Why? Because God breathed this information into him. And about Isaiah comes later on, prophesy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is going to be born, how he is going to grow up way ahead of time. And another prophet comes into the picture, tells us, and when he comes, that's why we preach the message on Christmas, to Jesus, prophecy fulfilled, because we see how he was born, when he was born. Even his crucifixion was prophesied in the book of Exodus. How he was going to be a lamb that is going to be captured, kept for 14 days. That's why little Bible in the book of Exodus. That's why then when Pontius Pilate against his hand, it's the fulfillment of that prophetic word that was declared. That's why John the Baptist, when he shows up, he says, this is the lamb that takes away the sin of this world. I can depend on that information accurate from point A to point Z. That's the foundation we are standing on. The word of God that stands firm forever. What was spoken by God himself, breathed into man, bypassed his thinking, his ideologies, his ideas, and directly downloaded revelation. Let me tell you, the discovery of God is not as a result of man's attempt to know about God. God revealed himself to us. We did not discover him. He revealed himself to us. We did not research him. He revealed himself to us. That's why even today, when the scientists discover things about creation and all of a sudden they are happy about we've discovered so many billion stars somewhere, it's already recorded in the Bible. When they come and they say, we have discovered a hole somewhere, it's already written in the Bible. Why? Because God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. That's the information I can depend upon. Not the one eyakhelo yamuntu wakudala. Then uthi uNkulunkulu, put him off. Bury that old man. Mhlubule loyo muntu. And many of us, we are born again, yes, but we did not put off that old man. That old man is still walking with us, is going to church with us. Each time the word of God is preached, the old man still tells us, you can't take that because it goes against what we believe in. That old man still tells you how to treat your wife, how to conduct yourself at work, how to conduct business. That old man is still very much alive. And the Bible says, put him off. So understand that the Bible then says God is spirit, but we were born by the flesh. But God is spirit. So the way that God thinks and does things is contrary to what the flesh, to how the flesh thinks and does things. So whenever we come, then we let go of how the flesh used to control us. The lust of the flesh. And we need to adopt the ways of God. Are we here, Bazalwane? So there is that distance that needs to be closed between our spiritual and natural inclinations. Because your flesh will pull you the other way. While the Spirit of God in you, because you are now saved, will pull you to the other way. But that gap can only be closed by what goes on in your soul. Because all of these ideologies are embedded there in your soul. And for as long as God is not touching your soul, you'll speak in tongues but still live like an old man. You'll come to church, give your tithes, but still live like an old man. Why? Because these ideologies are still embedded in your soul. Christianity is not intended to turn us into religious zombies. God did not save us just so that we can come to church. That's not the only thing. That is, as a matter of fact, it's part of it. Mainly, God saved us so that we can have a relationship with him and so that we can have a new nature and character. Recreated according to Christ Jesus, right? The pattern son, that is what the Bible calls him. And many of us, we get saved. We think, and we are very much committed with coming to church. But I just told you, this is a gathering of Pharisees. We are at our best here. That's why people, couples can kill each other at home. Come holding hands on Sunday. And lift up hands and pretend everything is okay. Pharisees. And when we go back, you it's like even your colleagues, when you tell them you are saved, they are shocked. If your colleague can visit on Sunday here and see the way that you are so spiritual, he will be like, wow. Wow, this is a totally different person from the one I meet during the week. Uhlaza lo muntu emsebenzini. Indlela ahleba ngayo. Hey, blazike mina yabona nje sengisindisa isikhashanyana. Ngiye ngiyawazi amakholwa. That's why anything that smells like religion, I don't like it. People who are too religious, I don't like them. Because you can look very religious and be full of anger, bitterness, jealousy in your heart. And hate, unforgive. You are wrong, man. My God. Put off the old man. Bury that person. Allow God to renew the way that you think. You can never fully experience what's available for you in the kingdom of God unless your mind is renewed. The spirit of your mind, what inspires your thoughts, your thinking patterns, your ideologies. These things, it's so amazing how sometimes the children of God, you see them. And the way that we were so committed to these things that we believed in, we would spend money, travel kilometers. And now the shocking thing is, we expect that after you are saved, it's going to take 2 hours. No, look, Satan, before you were saved, he had 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to program how you think. And now you read the word for 5 minutes, you come to church for 2 hours once a week, and you think your life will be changed. You better think again. See, the devil is having fun. Let me tell you, with many of us, the devil is having fun. He sees us praying in tongues on Sunday. He says, oh, Oxalai, you are still thinking the way that I want you to think. I'm still in charge. In as far as you look at how short-tempered we are, how angry we are, how bitter we are. I'm left with a few minutes, so I need to be very, very, very quick, very quick. Listen. Our God, I nearly said, say go deeper, but okay. In order for us to understand our new life in Christ, we must first go back to the beginning and see how does this thing called life come about? God gave us this precious gift called life. He's a creator, of course. He's our maker. And he squeezes our bodies into shape from the ground, the dust of the ground. He breathes. The Bible calls it the breath of life into us. And the Bible says, and man became a living being. The King James says, and man became a living soul. We became aware of ourselves, of our existence. Are we here? This is in the beginning now, before sin comes into the equation. So in other words, the Spirit of God made us to be who we are. That's why then God cannot be seen as someone who is part of our lives. God is our life, our very life. He's the essence of our lives. We breathe because of God. We are alive because of God. That's why even at the day of death, the Bible says we have no power over our spirit. So God is the source. He's the one who gave us our being. He is the one who gave us our soul. Pure as it was. Are we here, Bazalan? So we owe our existence to our God. And the Bible says when he created us like that, he created us in his image and likeness. And like I said, God is spirit. So the image and likeness is not how I look like on the outside. The image and the likeness of God is his spirit and soul. And yes, God has a soul. Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's just that in most cases, it does not make reference to his soul because his spirit and his soul is so much in sync. Like this. You can't draw a line between his soul and his spirit. Like this. And we were like that when we were created. Our spirit and soul was in sync with each other. And with the spirit and the soul of God. How do I know? After God creates animals, and then he creates Adam and Eve, and he creates animals, he brings them before Adam. He does not tell him, this is a lion, this is a lamb, this is... He just makes the animals to pass. And the Bible says, everything that Adam called the animal, it was that name. How did he know without being taught? It was... So when sin came into the picture, boom, the spirit was put out, disconnected from God. That lamp that God uses to access our heart, our soul, was put out. And the soul had to depend on a different spirit for information or for revelation. And we shifted from truth to deception. From truth to lies. And now, we had to adopt a new way of living. Were programmed differently. And when people were born, it was people who depended not on the Spirit of God for inspiration and revelation. They had to depend on. And how did this happen? Now, let me close because I'm taking forever. I'm left with 9 minutes, so I have to conclude. So, right at the end, this is my favorite part. So, right? So, Satan was greedy. We are minding our own business. And God decides, I'm going to kick you out. Oops. Takes a part of angels goes out with. Out of all planets. I mean, there's Jupiter, there's Mars, there's, you know, he decides to land here on earth. We are minding our own business, having fun. Satan lands here. But now, unfortunately, he sees us enjoying what he has lost. Because we were given this precious gift of life that no any other man can give us. Nobody can manufacture a soul and give it to you as a gift except for God. So here is Satan, he's frustrated. He says, these people are having something that I do not have. They are having something I can't have. They are having something I can't take away from them. But let me cause them to do something that will make them lose this precious gift of life, this precious soul that they have. Of course, Eve gives in to the deception of Satan. They sin against God. They die spiritually. That lamp is put out. The soul now gets contaminated and broken. Satan, of course, now begins to influence because he began. Remember when he went, he said, did God really say that when you eat this, you will surely die? No, actually God is afraid that you are going to be like him when your eyes are opened. So after that, they had to now depend on a satanic system to think and to do things. Zikhona bazalwane. So Satan drove that wedge and separated our spirit and soul from that of God through deception. And up until today, Satan still uses deception. He uses accusations to limit our dominion and blessing. And as I said, even when we are saved, we don't realize that for as long as we still think like the world, he is still in control of our lives. So he keeps on exposing us to his lies and deception through demonically inspired philosophies, many ideologies, traditions, so that we can adopt them and live by them, not unless the truth of God's word comes to light in our lives. But the good news is this, Bazalwan, that God did not change his mind about his will for us to have his divine life and wholesome souls. That's why the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God still wants us to have this precious gift called life. God still wants us to have hearts and souls that are whole, so that we can once again think like him, feel like him, be inspired and influenced like him, conduct our lives and live our lives the way that he wants us to live them. Are we together, Bazalwane? But unfortunately, there is still that raging battle over our souls. Even though many of us, we are born again, but the devil is still fighting us, especially because we don't know that God wants to take ownership of our souls. We are good with spiritual warfare. We can bind, we can rebuke demons, we can bind, we can cast out devils, but unfortunately, we are losing this battle over our souls because we have not subjected our souls to God. Even in churches, we are preaching the gospel. We are doing well with converting people to come to church, to come into the kingdom of God. But we are doing little in as far as the soul of man is concerned. Because God wants us to now spend more time renewing the spirit of the mind, renewing the soul, rebuilding the soul, re-influencing the soul, reshaping the soul. Many of us, we are worshiping God with broken souls, worshiping God with souls that are hurting, souls that are bleeding, souls that are still living in darkness. Our spirit is in heaven, but our soul is still in hell, experiencing darkness each and every day. That's why many of us, we can come to church, lift up hands, be in the spirit, but go back home still depressed, still frustrated, still defeated by worry, anxiety, distress. Why? Because our soul remains untouched, because we are not open enough to allow God to address us, to change our ideologies, to change the way that we think. Because we think God was just interested in a spirit. But after we are saved, God wants access to our soul. As a matter of fact, the reason why he saved our spirits is because he wanted access to our souls. He's using the gate of our spirit. The Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of God, through which he searches our inner being, our hearts. So after that, we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We now allow God to come in. Look, it will not help you as a Christian to still hold on to your former ideologies, to your former philosophies that you used to believe in. When we come to God, God says, fine, let's renew your mind. Let's press the restart button. Let me teach you how to think. Let me teach you how to, what is it that you are supposed to believe in? Let me show you what are the principles of life. All of these ideologies, everything is dopa, estratini. God begins to show us it's not going to work for you. That's not the truth. It's been the lie of the devil. It has been inspired by the spirit of darkness out there. Come now, let me show you how to do life, how to do marriage, how to do business, how to do your career, how to pursue your calling, based on the understanding that comes through the word of God. And as I say, that's why many of us are so miserable today, struggling in our hearts. Because our souls are still deep in hell. still trapped in the kingdom of darkness. Psalm 16 verse 10. It says, for you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Why was the psalmist praying this prayer? He was realizing that I cannot be trapped in two worlds. I cannot experience heaven with my spirit and experience hell in my soul. So in other words, he's yearning for God. He says the same thing I'm experiencing spiritually, I want to experience in my soul. I want that joy to go deep down into my soul. I want that peace to go deep down into my soul. Yo God, you will not leave my soul to die. Instead, he says, you will redeem my soul out of the power of the grave. You have resurrected my spirit, oh God. But I am praying today that you may even redeem my soul. Take my soul out of the grave. Take my soul out of misery. Take my soul out of pain. Take my soul out of brokenness. And many of us, those are the areas that we don't want God to deal with. We are not open enough for God to get closer to those past wounds. Yes, you were born again 10 years ago, but there's something that happened deep down in your soul 20 years ago that remains untouched. Because I can't go there. It's too painful for me. But let me tell you something. God does not want to put a bandage on that wound. God wants to get deep down into your soul and make it whole and touch it and heal it and restore it. That's why many of us, even though you speak in tongues in church, but you are mean to your spouse. You are abusive towards your spouse. Why? Because deep down in your heart, there are sting things that are embedded there that remained unhealed, untouched, unaddressed. And as a matter of fact, each time the word of God comes to address those issues, you protect that area with every fiber of your being because you can't open up. Even during connect groups, there are certain things we are not willing to talk about. So, Yamle. Let me tell you, God wants us to get into a season where we are going to truly experience the salvation of the soul, because this salvation was not only meant for the spirit, this salvation was also meant for the soul. God wants to get closer and closer and closer and change us from within and touch our hearts, touch our soul and transform us, renew our minds so that we can think like God, we can feel like God, we can desire like God, we can act like God, we can walk like God, we can talk like God. But that can never happen unless our soul is truly saved. But let me tell you this, Bazalwane, even though the devil still wants to take possession of your soul, but there was a great price that was paid on the cross of Calvary to redeem your soul. Your soul was redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Your soul does not belong to the devil anymore. Your soul belongs to God. And he says, all souls are mine and yours is saved. Yours was redeemed. Yours was taken back from the hands of Satan. You cannot afford to live in hell while God wants you to experience heaven. It's about time that God visits us in those deep dark areas. It's about time we allow God to step in and begin to say, yes, yes, I understand you were hurt by your uncle 20 years ago, but it's about time I address that issue once and for all, because you can't serve me and not be whole. You can't serve me and not be healed. You can't serve me and not be comforted. You can't come and cry all over and over and over again over one and the same thing. It has got to be addressed. It has got to be healed. It has got to be dealt with. It has got, all of those wounds are supposed to be healed. Not just mended, but totally healed. God wants to restore us. He wants us to truly experience joy. He wants us to truly experience peace. He wants us to know, how is it like to be touched by God in areas that no man can touch me? I understand you thought maybe one day, if I can get a man, I can be totally whole on the inside of me. But a man
when he came, but instead you were more hurt because we did not allow. Just like that woman of Samaria, she had five men and none of them helped her, and she was staying with the sixth one until the seventh man came into the picture and say, let me give you the water that when you drink from this well, you will never be thirsty anymore. You will never be hungry anymore. You will never ask for any man for satisfaction, because I, Jesus, came to dwell with you and to heal you and to restore you and to take you out of your mess, the kind of mess that nobody knew about, the kind of mess that you are not talking about, the kind of mess that you are busy hiding, busy covering, busy protecting, that you are not even willing to share it with your friends. They know you as this happy person, but deep down in your soul you know that there are things that are hidden there, and they are busy in interfering with every other area of your life. Because let me tell you, if your soul is not whole, you will see it in your marriage. You will see it in the way you treat your children. You will see it in the manner that you treat your friends. It's not that you are a bad person, but there are some of the wounds that are deep-seated within your soul that are busy. They are busy surfacing. They are busy surfacing at times that you don't want them to surface. When you want to behave like a good person and your soul begins to emerge, that's why the Bible says, guard your heart with everything. Why? Because from your heart proceeds the issues of life. Your life is managed from your soul. Your heart is, your life is controlled from your soul. Let me tell you this, Barcelona, your marriage is controlled from your soul. Our marriages are the reflection of the condition of our souls. Our relationships with other people are the reflection of the conditions of our souls. And iloyo muntu uNkulunkulu amfunayo. Simlethile umoya kulungile. Asilethe nomphefumulo. Asilethe nomphefumulo. Sisilethile izono zethu kulungile. Asilethe namanxeba wethu. Asilethe our ideologies. Asilethe our traditions. Let us be willing to say, God, we choose to forsake all. We choose to forsake our traditions, our philosophies, everything that we held so dear in our heart. And we thought these things make us to be who we are. I refuse to be given an identity by Satan and his systems. I am not what the world says I am. If it's to be African, it's to damage my soul. Then I don't want to be African. All I know is that I'm a child of God. I am born from above. That's my lineage. I don't want to be connected to no lineage that is going to continue to mess up my soul. I am a child of God. I am redeemed. I am born again. I am saved. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. All of my sins have been forgiven. All I want is joy. All I want is peace. All I want is wholeness. All I want is a sober mind, a sound mind. I don't want the spirit of fear to control the way I do things. We lived our lives in such a this is what is going to happen in your life. If you don't follow this, sisaba nje nokhuleka sakhim denye to the way that we want to, because we were threatened. We were controlled through fear. Let me tell you, the Bible says where there is love, there is no fear, because love casts out fear. I rather depend on the love of God. And this is that time where God says, yes, you've come to church. You've done well. Yes, you are filled with my spirit. You've done well. It's about time you are filled in your mind by my word. Let my word control the way that you think. Let my word control the way that you make decisions. When you are angry, don't look at what has been done to you. Look at what my word says about your anger. What does my word say about your jealousy? What does my word say about your pride? What does my word say about your bitterness? Even if that thing you think is unforgivable, abantezweni, but I will not forgive you for this. But the word of God says you must forgive 70 times 70. No matter, let me tell you, forgiving is not about that person, whether they are right or wrong. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is for your healing. Forgiveness is for your wholeness. Ukumbamba kwakho ngenhliziyo sithi ngikubambe ngenhliziyo. That's why inhliziyo i heavy kangaka. Iyasindelwa namhlanje because ubamba abantu abaningi. Uphila nabantu abaningi on the inside of you. You keep on checking them on Instagram how they live their lives. You keep on inflicting your wounds over and over. Mntana sekhaya, walk out of this place delivered and say, I am totally free. I am opening my heart. Ngiyamkhipha uJabu. Ngiyamkhipha uSibusiso. Ngiyamkhipha uZanele. I'm just free. My heart from people who have been determining my joy. Wake wathi uhambe mall ujabulile, all of a sudden makuvela ujabu and your mood changes. What does it tell you? There's something in your soul that is not corrected, that is not attended to. It's about time you forgive ujabu. Let go of ujabu. Smile, baby, and walk through and live your life and allow God to rebuild your life. Because what God is going to do in your life is way greater than what ujabu can ever do for your life. I'm praying that God will raise up a church that is whole. That God will raise up a church that is healed. That God will raise up a church that is restored. That God will raise up and build a church that is able to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And I am praying that you will be part of that church. I am praying that you will be that person who will forgive. That person who will walk in love. That person who will embrace other, encourage another one. Just speak life to your situation. Speak life to your neighbors. Speak life to your children. Speak life to your parents. And be full of hope in your heart. Let's stand on our feet and lift up your hands in this place. Allow God to touch you. Just pray to Him for just for 60 seconds. Just lift up your voice in this place. Ask God to come into your heart. Come into our souls, oh God. Come into our hearts, oh Father. Begin to attend to issues that we never dealt with. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we surrender, mighty God, our souls to you. We surrender our emotions. We surrender our thoughts. We surrender, mighty God, our desires that are ungodly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender everything, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, walk through the aisles in this room. Walk through the aisles in this church. Begin, oh God, to breathe a breath of life. A breath, oh mighty God, that will bring healing and restoration. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God. May your children walk out of this place depression free in the name of Jesus. Worry free in the name of Jesus. Fear free in the name of Jesus. Distress free in the name of Jesus. Let peace come. Let joy come. Let comfort come. Let restoration come in the name of Jesus. Oyalaba sagredo sata. Come on, lift up your voices in this place. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to do so. Grant us the grace to forgive. Grant us the grace to forgive, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, to deal with anger, to deal with bitterness, to deal, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, with anxiety, pain, and sorrow, in the name of Jesus. Oyalabasai, oyalabasoka, shambandarabasai. Just lift up your hands in this place and say, I thank you, Lord, for the salvation of my spirit. I thank you, Father, even for the salvation of my soul. I declare my soul is sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I declare my soul is redeemed through the blood of Jesus. My soul, O God, belongs to you. I pray, Father, for healing in my soul. I pray, God, for the grace to forgive everyone that I have anything against. May I forgive them in the name of Jesus, that I may be free. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release them from my heart. In the name of Jesus, I release them in the name of Jesus. Everyone who has offended me, everyone who has wounded me, I release them in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. Mend my heart. Mend my soul. And make me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord in this place.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.